Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at AutoTrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Dan Ball. Dan Ball. On WEEI.
1 o'clock hour here on WEEI. Dan Ball with you. Thanks so much for being with us. 617-779-7937. There may be no love in the city, but there's some love in here for the Boston Red Sox with myself and my man David Azar, who's back behind the glass. So, David, I want to start with you, as you've had to listen to me ramble for 2 hours. We're now into Red Sox talk, and I know that's your favorite, as well as Zach Coe, those on the Entering Kenmore podcast. So I'm going to ask you one question. Was this a successful season for the Boston Red Sox in 2025?
Is that a yes or no question, or can I elaborate?
Start with a yes or no, but elaborate your thoughts on why.
Yes.
Okay, why?
Because I think if you looked back at the season knowing what we know now, Rafael Devers trade, Roman Anthony not getting called up until June, Garrett Crochet being able to sustain a whole season's workload, I think it's largely a success because you didn't know that you were going to trade Rafael Devers going into the season, and that's when all the national reporters and all of us were beating the drum that the Red Sox could make the World Series and potentially win it.
Right.
You look back at the season as a whole and you see all the turmoil and all the drama that this season had for the Red Sox. I still think it's a success making the playoffs, seeing what Garrett Crochet could do as your ace in a game one of a playoff series. And a lot of the young guys took steps forward. So I think overall it's a success. I think looking back on the season before it started, I wish they did more to supplement that talent.
Yeah, no question about that last part. By the way, I saw this on Twitter. Netflix must be kicking themselves for the season that they chose to follow. This last year versus this, oh my God.
That would have been insane.
To see the Devers trade and the Casas injury and to get ears on what Bregman was saying to Anthony and Meyer and all that. Oh my God. Anyways, and the Fenway Fridays. I'm glad you bring up where we finished versus where we started, because I was thinking the exact same thing as you. So I went back to read Major League Baseball, MLB.com's breakdown of their opening day roster. So your catchers are Connor Wong and Carlos Narvaez in that order to start the season. First baseman is Tristan Casas, Gonzo. Second baseman, Christian Campbell, lasted 2 months. April rookie of the month, gone by the end of May. Shortstop is Trevor Story, third baseman Alex Bregman. Outfielders, Duran, Rafaela, Abreu, and Ref Snyder. No Roman Anthony in that mix, to your point. Your DH is Rafael Devers, and David Hamilton and Romy Gonzalez are your utility guys. That was your opening day, at least offensive setup with your starting pitchers. Your starting pitchers, Garrett Crochet, Tanner Houck, Walker Buehler, Dickie Fitz, and Sean Newcomb. What are we talking about with that
group of
five?
Half of those guys didn't survive the season.
None of those guys were on the roster, were on your playoff roster, except for Crochet. Right? Houck got hurt. Buehler got cut. Fitz got hurt. Newcomb got cut. Oh, my God. So Bayo was dealing with bumps and bruises, and Giolito was a little behind schedule, I think, come opening day. I think that's what happened with those two. But to see that starting five, and then your bullpen, Chapman, Slayton, Criswell, Whitlock, Wilson, Kelly, Weiser, Bernardino. You know, relatively what you came down the stretch with. Chapman, Slayton, Whitlock, Wilson, Kelly, Weiser, Bernardino. We're still, or Bernie was hurt, but the rest were solely in the mix. So your bullpen was certainly the most stable part of your season this year. You got an all-time great performance from Chapman, which you didn't necessarily expect, and a career-defining performance from Whitlock. But at least the personnel was the same. That starting rotation takes my breath away. That Tanner Houck, Walker Buehler, Richard Fitz, and Sean Newcomb by the end of the season became Brian Baio, Lucas Giolito, Connolly Early, and Peyton Tolley, and Kyle Harrison. That is crazy to see what that started as and what that became. I know that the wheels kind of fell off for both Baio and Giolito at the end, and then Giolito ended up being hurt. But that top three was stellar. And so to answer the question that I posed to you, David, I'm right there with you. This was a successful season because you had so much that went wrong that could have caused your season to go off the rails. And yet you ended the season in a situation where you still felt better about the future than I think you did last year, if that makes sense, where you traded Devers, you lost Casas, you apparently lost four out of your five opening day starters. You had a change at catcher from the order that you thought it was going to be. And you still leave the season going, well, we have our ace. We have, at very worst, our three in Baio. We have some very promising young lefties that now have MLB experience on which they can build this offseason, and Early and Tolley. And Harrison, I'll give him that as well. The back end of our bullpen is in the best shape it's been in years, I would argue. We have our catcher. We have our face of the franchise fully established. We have our face of the franchise that fans don't hate or don't actively, you know, want to root against or disagree with, and doesn't. We have a face of the franchise that doesn't disagree with the rest of the franchise. That's where I'll leave that. But you also have a lot of difficult decisions that you have to make this offseason. Craig Breslow did a nice job last offseason positioning this team to be successful in the regular season, and then he choked it away at the trade deadline. So that puts even more onus for me on this offseason, because I still, when trade deadline 2026 comes around, the Red Sox better be in a position to only need to add around the fringes, because that's all he's capable of. Unless they make some change in the front office and bring in somebody who can kind of be the conciliary and whisper in his ear during those kind of situations.
Well, the interesting thing is they have talked about wanting to bring in a GM this offseason. So does that potential person come in and be the decision maker at the trade deadline? Because that's always been the discussion, is Breslow, when his back is against the wall, he doesn't really make decisions very quickly. And that's right. What we saw. Obviously, the Joe Ryan trade didn't pan out, and then he goes to Dustin May, and what did he give you? Four starts that were all pretty bad?
Right. Yeah, exactly. I think that the departure of Paul Toboni to Washington ends up being a pretty interesting opportunity for the Red Sox to bring in a general manager that's done this before. Because I'm fine with Breslow remaining where he is, kind of being the vision setter for the franchise, I guess, and being a guy who can crunch the numbers and who can find the diamonds in the rough and who can help you find the Romies, the Weiserts, the Narvaezes, the guys that you look at the end of a year ago, holy cow, where would we be without Romy Gonzalez? But you can't rely on math and the algorithm, and you can't have to be gung-ho about winning every single trade at the deadline. At a certain point, you just have to put your you-know-whats on the table and risk it and make a trade. And you have to be savvy enough to win those negotiations based on feel, based on experience, and based on confidence. And I just don't think – I think Breslow is simply too analytical of a baseball executive to be able to handle that. Now, as he gains more experience, maybe it gets better. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt for that, but there's going to be too too high of expectations riding on the 2026 Red Sox for me to just run it back with Breslow running everything at the deadline and go, yeah, he's just going to figure it out this year. He'll have learned all his lessons in 1 year's time. That's not how this works, because it didn't really seem like he learned from year one to year two. So I can't put all my chips in on he's going to learn it in 2026. So I think that's a great point. A GM who kind of brings a more experienced resume and just a different skill set, another perspective, a more of a I play the game, I test kind of way to just add another voice in the room. And I think that would be hugely helpful. So items on the to-do list for the Red Sox is something that we're going to explore coming up next, because, again, you have a couple things, a couple tentpole items that you can be extremely excited about. Catcher, I think you've solved. He was described by one of the Red Sox insiders, and I apologize, I can't remember the name, as an untouchable this offseason. And I think that's fair. But do you like the depth of the position? The answer there is no. First base, got to solve. Second base, got players, got to solve it. I mean, there's a question mark at every spot in your infield right now. That's not good, because that's like half of your offense is your infield. And you have an embarrassment of riches in the outfield, but that ended up being a bit more of a headache than it was worth down the stretch. Until all the injuries happened, then you're like, oh, thank God we didn't trade, say, down Rafael away or something. But let's explore what's next to do for an offseason in which the Red Sox have the chance to position themselves to once again be a player in October. In an American League that, as you watch these playoffs, does it really scare you moving forward? To me, the answer is no. Thank you, Alex. I think that was Alex. no, it does not, because the Yankees, once again, you know, their rent-a-veteran style once again proved to fail them. And, you know, those can't-miss prospects in Volpe and Dominguez are going to have to continue to take on more of the load, and we saw how great that went this year. The Blue Jays are having themselves a tremendous season, but can they continue that? What's the future for Bo Bichette? They will be a team to contend with, but a team that you should be able to deal with if you do things right. Tigers just got bounced. Seattle, their hitting kind of comes and goes, but that rotation is a force to be reckoned with. And then past that, what's on my radar? The Rangers are getting older. The Astros may lose Framber Valdez and have a lot of decisions to make in their own right. You have another sterling opportunity in front of you in 2026 to go into the season as a power player in the American League and cruise through a season in an AL that doesn't have a lot that worries you compared to the National League with a couple of the big hitters. But we'll continue the Red Sox conversation and we'll take your calls. We have a couple lines open at 617-779-7937. What's the top item on your wish list? You want a hitter? You want a pitcher? You want to change at the manager? I'm sure that would get people fired up. Everybody has their own wish list for the Red Sox. What is yours? We'll talk about that after David Azar gets you caught up on what's trending.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
There's searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Dan Ball on WEEI.
Back here on WEEI, talking Boston Red Sox and their offseason plans and your wish list at 617-779-7937. Doing some perusing during the break to try to set up the financial situation for the Boston Red Sox this season. This coming from Alex Speer of the Boston Globe. In 2025, according to Major League sources, the Red Sox spent past the luxury tax threshold, $241 million, after staying below it in 2023 and 2024. According to estimates from Spot Track, the Red Sox finished with a payroll of roughly $246.5 million, the seventh highest in Major League Baseball. Amazing that there were six teams above that with all of the spending that was going on. So that brings us to 2025. According to a prediction model from the Globe, the Red Sox have roughly $227 million on the books from next season. Assuming they keep roughly $10 million free for in-season additions, that's roughly $237, about $7 million shy of next year's luxury tax threshold.
Yes. Ready to burn some cash.
Absolutely. Let's do just that. Rotation accounts for $55 million, bullpen 32.7, lineup 89.8, your bench 28.9, and benefits at $17 million, a little bit more sprinkled below. So I say all of that to say this. If the Red Sox are comfortable once again being the team that spends like a major market team, they're going to have to be comfortable paying the luxury tax this year, because with the way the roster is structured, there is just only so much money that you'd be able to move out in order to free up the space to sign some of the players that you so desperately need. Your Crochet contract kicks in, boosts his AAV by nearly $25 million. Your bullpen at $33 million. Unfortunately, you did tie yourself to an anchor by trading Rafael Devers. You got rid of an anchor that certainly seemed to weigh them down, pun intended. But the Jordan Hicks contract is something that you now are going to have to navigate. You're losing Liam Hendricks, Justin Wilson, Steven Matz, $5 million, $3 million, and $3.5 million roughly. But the Hicks contract essentially offsets that, and then Chapman is getting a bump in pay as well. So your bullpen of Chapman, Whitlock, Slayton, Weissert, Kelly, Bernardino, Hicks, and then Tolley, Dobbins, Fitz, and Guerrero are the players that are listed right there. I would not expect any high leverage additions to the bullpen. You may add around the fringes. I'd have a conversation about bringing both Wilson and Matz back if you so chose, but for the time being, those are the players that take that up. Then it gets you to your lineup. Narvaez, Casas, Meyer, Story, Bregman, Duran, Rafaela, Abreu, and Anthony are the teams that are being accounted for that with your $29 million bench anchored by Masataka Yoshida. So here's a kind of table-setting question. Was Yoshida good enough down the stretch and in the postseason that you can get a team to take him in a trade and not have to eat the money? I'm fascinated by that because if I'm a team here, quite honestly, if I'm Toronto and I think that having signed Vlad Guerrero, my window to win is open, I'd have that conversation, wouldn't you, with the way that he hit in Toronto, having him there for 81 games? The fact that all of a sudden the years are starting to tick off slowly but surely to where it's not as much of a commitment, I'd call. I mean, I wouldn't give up anything for him. I'd see if I could get the Red Sox to eat some of that money. But, I mean, the body of work in Toronto for this player is beyond reproach. So I would wonder if there's a another way to get this deal done to get some of that money off the books. So that's just kind of one side story to all of this. Other than that, there really isn't a lot of dead money that you can get rid of this offseason and try to knock that number down. Wish list items. For me, number one, number two, and number three is an impact bat in the middle of the lineup. I think that there are arguments to be made for a lot of other things on this roster. Obviously, I think a number two starter, Joe Ryan, sorry, that bug keeps popping up. It usually does most of the winter until Craig Breslow does something. A number two starter, I certainly understand that, but if you told me that you got a three or a four somewhere down the depth chart and you rode with Crochet, Bayo, blank, and then you figured it out between Toley, Harrison, Early, Hauk, Dobbins, Crawford, and Sandoval. Oh, okay. All right. It's not great, but it can work. You have your pig up there at the top of the rotation for years to come, and I think him alone and the progression of Bayo, I think those two make it so that you're a number two starter, while important, isn't as mission critical as the fact that your offense with runners in scoring position down the stretch was abysmal. Abysmal. It became a running joke that the Red Sox getting the bases loaded was a bad thing. That's how bad you were with runners in scoring position. Three runners on base, less than two outs, and Red Sox fans would look around and go, well, we're screwed now. Might as well just give us three outs and punt, and we'll come back next inning and try again with the bases clear. That's awful. So you need a little bit of thump in the middle of all of this. Well, Dan, who does that mean? Who's on your mind? Great question. Pete Alonso is obviously the name that people are going to point to first. I would absolutely be calling him. He's a Boris guy, so it's going to be painful, but you've navigated that before and had some success with it. Alonso taking aim at the monster for the next couple of years would be pretty damn good. Pretty fun to watch. The other name, of course, Kyle from Waltham, Kyle Schwarber. I would be curious to see what his market is. They, at this point, Schwarber is pretty much you're signing a DH. So I think having Masataka Yoshida is prohibitive if you're going to go after Kyle Schwarber. You need to move that player out before you're going to bring that player in. Alonso's a bad first baseman, but at least he can still play defense. Would you want to see the Schwarber experiment navigating the monster a la Hanley Ramirez? I don't, but maybe that's the conversation you could have. I don't know. They don't let Yoshida out and left. I don't think they'd let Schwarber out there. So it seems like Alonso compared to those two make more sense, but here's also where I stand on that. I think once again, in the same vein that you did with Garrett Crochet, I think the trade market is your best friend this offseason because you have a lot of players for not a lot of spots that you need to either commit to or find new homes for. I just listed off that group of bottom of the rotation starters. Hauk, Crawford, Dobbins, Sandoval, Toley, Early, Harrison. You have that group of guys for two, maybe three spots. And that doesn't even include whatever happens with Giolito. So for me, I'm trying to package a couple of those guys that you think are really on the outside looking in. And I'm also probably looking at one of Marcelo Meyer or Christian Campbell. In addition to one of your outfielders that you also need to try to find homes for. And I'm putting those guys all on the trade market. If you can find a way, to consolidate some of those pieces into impact players, a number two starter and a bat, I think that's your best way to go. If I can call Minnesota and find a way to get Joe Ryan for similar packages to what we heard during the offseason, during the trade deadline, which was any combination of Toley or David Sandlin, Franklin Arias, Justinson Garcia, Early. Those guys all seem to be on the table for a rebuilding Minnesota Twins team. If you can call them once again and see if that kind of package still works, that's where I would start there. We'll get to the hitters in just a moment. But David, what's number one on your wish list this offseason?
It has to be a power hitter, simply because you traded your power hitter with no backup plan, and that's been the conversation ever since he's been gone. By the way, Craig Breslow, every single time a microphone was put in front of his face after the Devers trade, he was like, "Don't worry, guys.
Yep.
We're buying at the deadline.
We're going to use that money.
So many reinforcements are coming. Now we have nothing." So I think that has to be top of the list just to try to replace that production. I don't even know if you can. But if you bring in an Alonso who can hit you 30-plus homers a year, I think that's a step in the right direction. But I really do think they're two or three power hitters away here. Like, you have no pop in this lineup right now.
Right, absolutely. Your quote-unquote pop from this past year was Trevor Story, who finished with 25 home runs, I think it was. Willy Abreu, who once again was hot and cold and injured all in the same season. But again, the hots are red hot. Same with Seidon Rafaela. The hots are red hot. The colds are, whoo, boy, oh boy. Rafaela can't start an at-bat without automatically being down 0-2. And Abreu just gets a case of the uppercuts, man. You can really tell when he's pressing to try to hit one out of the ballpark. And as soon as you start pitching him up with that uppercut, swing and a miss, or swing and a pop-up, and that's about the best that you get. So you're right. I mean, the way you're currently constructed without any additions, Anthony Rafaela and either Abreu or Duran, Bregman, Story, Campbell slash Meyer slash Romy, and then your first baseman of rehabbing and coming back Tristan Casas and arbitration eligible Nate Lowe with Narvaez and Wong. A lot of good players, not a lot of power. And you've seen in these playoffs and just down the stretch in the regular season, you got to have a guy who can step up and hit you a grand slam, who can hit you a game-tying home run, who other pitchers have to worry about when your lineup gets posted. Roman Anthony's a great player, but he's not a 40-50 home run hitter. He's not a guy that yet puts the absolute fear in the hearts of opposing pitchers. And even if he doesn't, I'm mischaracterizing this, then you got eight other guys that don't. And that's not good enough if you're going to be a World Series contender. The 508 and the 781, unprompted, 2 minutes from each other, brought up the name that I am going to say until I am red in the face and I am quickly losing air and passing out. Say it with me, folks. Fernando Tatis Jr. That is my number one target this offseason. Irresponsible? Sure. Absolutely the guy that the Red Sox need? Yes. Right-handed, impact bat, good defender, centerpiece of a lineup, and on a team that's led by A.J. Preller, who's a moron. But a moron who loves Jarren Duran. And I don't know if that helps or hurts his cause for being a moron. Jury's still out on that. Point being, if you get any sense whatsoever that San Diego is less than enthralled with Fernando Tatis Jr., I think that would be a crazy but effective move for the Boston Red Sox. Let's talk numbers. 268 this past year with an 814 OPS. 25 home runs, 71 runs driven in 155 games. Year before, 276 and an 833. 21 home runs, 49 runs batted in. That was in 102 games. He moved from shortstop to right field, did it well. And San Diego's kind of in an interesting spot right now where they built it up and then broke it down, and then built it up and then broke it down. They have a really, really interesting offseason upcoming with the free agencies of Cease and King, the aging of Machado, the free agency of Luis Arraez, the aging of Xander Bogaerts. I don't know. They're kind of at a bit of a crossroads of we're getting older and kind of getting worse as other teams around us are getting better. So how much does AJ Preller like Jarren Duran? And could you package Duran and a couple of those other parts that I put together and potentially entice the Padres to trade you an impact bat that I think would fit extremely well at Fenway Park? David, where are you on my Tatis love?
I like it. I don't see it happening.
I know.
I mean,
I know. It's let a man dream, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think they definitely do want Duran. I don't think this playoff or lack thereof performance helped at all for his trade value. But I do think, where are you at with the outfield logjam? Because I do think they have to move one of them.
Absolutely. That's a really uncomfortable one. I think for me, so obviously Roman Anthony is the one. I think if I had my druthers, he's your left fielder in the long term. I just think range-wise, I'd rather have him out there with a shorter left field. And you can move him around a little bit, like maybe you play him in right with the short portion Yankee Stadium. But I think at home, I'd like him to be the guy that's playing the monster. Rafaela, Abreu, and Duran. Three guys for two spots. Three guys with some stellar positives and some really ugly negatives. For me, I still land on, I think Duran is the one I'm moving. And I'll tell you why. I think the defense anywhere but center field has been bad. I think the skill set that he brings has the highest chance of diminishing quickly. And if you take Duran's speed away from him, and I don't know when it happens, could happen next year, could happen 5 years, 10 years down the line. He's a specimen, and you can't take that away from him. But I just see once he starts to lose a step, what more is he than just a 240 to 250 hitter that's an average to subpar defender? I kind of see him as your Jacoby Ellsbury. Unbelievably explosive, great top of the lineup present when he's good, and as soon as it starts to break down, it's something you don't really love to see. As my man John Lyons in his Red Sox hat is back behind the glass and texted me a link to a tweet that he sent in December of 2024. If the Sox traded for Tatis Jr., I would go on WEEI and scream in excitement until they dragged me out of the studio. Well, ditto, by the way. I'd be happy to harmonize that screaming with you if that ever happened. I think that AJ Preller gets itchy trade fingers. That's my opinion, and it's not really based on much other than his track record, but I would see if I could overpay to try to make that happen. Because if you could add Tatis in one more bat, how much does that change things? Lyons has sent me his trade idea. Here we go. And you know what? I'm going to read that to you next with John Lyons in a crossover here on WEEI. We'll continue some Tatis Jr. trade talk and what else the Red Sox can do.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
There's searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Dan Ball on WEEI.
So here's the deal. I could have either continued to read text from John Lyons one room away from me, or I could have just welcomed him into the studio here on WEEI. So we went with the latter. John, good afternoon. How are you?
Not too bad, Dan. How are you?
It's great to see you, as always. I'm doing great. It's nice to talk Red Sox, even though it is October and they are no longer a part of it. But I'll ask you the establishing question I asked David and myself. Was this a successful season for the Red Sox?
It was a reasonably successful season. And I put that word reasonably in because if they had made the ALDS, first of all, I think they could have beat Toronto in the ALDS.
I agree.
But had they made it there, I would have been like, oh, hell yeah, this is a total success. To win game one in Yankee Stadium, and especially game two, to lose the way they did in game two, you know, you don't send Eaton around third, you have some defensive lapses, and then obviously game three, your defense, despite the low error numbers in that series, not good, right? So it's a success, but it's, I don't feel quite as ecstatic as I would, even if they just made the ALDS. If they made the ALDS and got swept by Toronto, I still would have sat here and said, total success. I mean, it's a team that finished in last place, 22-23, 81-81 last year. I just, again, I thought it was a missed opportunity in Yankee Stadium to advance to the ALDS.
Yeah, it hinges on the series that you played and the fact that the Yankees proved they were not a better team than you. You just beat yourself in game two, and then Cam Schlittler was incredible in game three.
Yeah, he was terrific.
You get those outs, I guess the analytical way you describe it is if you get those outs above expected, the Seydon Rafaela play where he kind of just did an out route to the ball instead of going right to
Which
it.
Which is ironic because that's a guy that, you know, defensive run saved and a lot of metrics. This is one of the best center fielders in the entire MLB.
Right.
And we've watched him all year. He's been terrific. And then in that moment, just took a bad route.
Yeah,
it's kind of weird.
For some reason, him and Abreu, after Willier came back from injury, for some reason, they just did not seem to be on the same page.
No, which they almost collided and was game two, right?
Right,
they,
yeah.
Yeah, like it was bizarre.
And that's the same duo that combined to rob a home run in Detroit. Like, we've seen what happens when they're on the same page, but it was not the case. Okay, so I didn't want to be the one to spoil your trade proposal for Fernando Tatis Jr., who,
my favorite player in baseball.
And I know that we're dreaming. I know that this is a guy who would be viewed by many as untouchable, but you just went out and paid the price for Garrett Crochet a year ago. You've shown that you have the stomach to make some high leverage moves. So your move to get Fernando Tatis Jr., who you sending out?
So by the way, before I get to that, I don't know if you watched that Dodgers Phillies game four,
yeah,
and saw who draw the game tying walk in the seventh inning. That guy playing shortstop, he's pretty good. I wish we could get him. I don't know. I can't wait to get angry text messages.
Oh,
about that.
Always. Yeah.
So let's see if the people out there take this one seriously or not. This is a good barometer on who you are as a person.
Okay.
Red Sox trade away Tristan Casas, Marcelo Meyer, and another prospect outside the top five, but still probably a good one, right?
Okay, yeah.
Could be your eighth, ninth, tenth, whatever.
I'll give you like a David Sandlin, like to balance it out with a little pitching, a David Sandlin or something.
Yeah, and
like
with their old group of prospects, the name for me would have been like Miguel Blaze, but I don't know if that would fit. We'll see.
Yeah, maybe Franklin Arias. Something.
Arias
in that
is the one that came to mind, but then I'm like, is he too good? You know, if you're already trading Meyer.
Right.
But anyways, the Red Sox get Tatis Jr., Xander Bogaerts, and Don Orsillo.
Perfect.
I think it's a great deal.
I tell you, I mean, you can kind of
I legitimately would, like I'm joking around now, I really would trade for Tatis Jr., and I would consider trading Marcelo Meyer to do it.
I would drive Marcelo to Logan myself if that got that done.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of talent for that player. But
Like, if it's Peyton Tolley and Marcelo Meyer to get Tatis Jr., I would do that.
Me too. Yeah. Absolutely.
And I like Tolley, the Piglet, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Meyer, I think, has a ton of potential. We're talking about a top 10 player in baseball in Tatis Jr.
Absolutely.
Who's not only a top 10 player in baseball, he's a transformational star. And I know sometimes you get too hung up on, like, tickets and moving the needle and this and that. Like, that guy changes the energy of your entire franchise. That's like getting Garrett Crochet, but as a position player.
Right.
Like, it changes the energy of your entire franchise.
And think about the ripple effect of what having him does to the rest of the lineup. All of a sudden now, if you're bringing Alex Bregman back, assuming that, you know, he's still good but not great, it puts less pressure on him. Is he your opening day shortstop, or are you putting him back out in the outfield?
Yeah, until Abreu gets hurt again, and then you put him in right. And no offense to him. And I like Abreu a lot. It's just something that's unfortunately been a pattern.
Yeah.
I would look at it as, I would lean to, because Anthony, I think, is going to be your left fielder.
Yep.
Right? And then Rafaela is going to be your center fielder. I mean, I'd be open to Abreu as your DH, and you have Tatis in right field.
I don't mind
if and it depends, too. Like, Christian Campbell's a big part of this, because
yes.
If he's ready to go at second base and you have Story at short, then maybe you can save Abreu a little bit by having him be DH. And then on certain days, like, because that's the thing, too. Like, Abreu's a gold glover. Tatis is an elite defender as well. It's not like you're losing that defensive prowess, if you will. And on the days Tatis Jr. needs a day off, you're putting a gold glove guy in right field to replace it. So I think that, to me, would be a really nice fit. If you sat here and you told me it would take Abreu as part of the package to get Tatis Jr. and you just put him in right field, like, I get that.
Yeah.
I'd rather not, but
right.
I get it. So I think shortstop, I wouldn't put it out of the realm of possibility, but I think I would lean more towards right field with Abreu at DH.
I don't
and
mind.
And work out something with Yoshida.
I don't mind that. I mean, you keep him playing what he has been playing. He's been a right fielder most recently, and there's a lot of ground to cover. He's an incredible athlete. I think he'd fit in decently well. The one guy that I wonder, I would at least have the conversation with AJ Preller about including, is Duran, because it seems like
he's getting traded.
Duran.
And yeah. I think whether it's to Minnesota for Joe Ryan, whether it's somewhere, like, let's just say San Diego, even if it's not for Tatis, but let's just say, I think he's the guy, because you look at it, Anthony for the next 8 years is your left fielder. I think Rafaela for the next 8 years is your center fielder. And I think Abreu over time is going to be your right fielder long term. So that leaves Duran kind of the fourth guy out of four, but he's way too good. And even after, you know, somewhat of a down year this year, way too good a player to be a platoon guy or just a DA. Like, he's too good for that.
Well, I look forward to when December 2025 comes around, you and I get to yell together on WEEI when Fernando Tatis Jr. becomes the co-face of the Red Sox with
Roman
Anthony.
When Andy, Ted, and Fitzy take a day off and me and you just have the Fernando Tatis Jr. show.
Absolutely. Yeah. 4 hours wall-to-wall coverage. We'll find angles to cover Fernando Tatis that you didn't know existed. Now, John Lyons is one half of what you'll be hearing here on EEI for the next couple hours. The other is KJ Carson. KJ, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
What the hell are you boys smoking? Who was the GM for San Diego? Gary Coleman? You guys need to be purgatory to hell with. Are you kidding? Fernando Tatis, you're not talking about some AAA guy playing at the Tijuana Padres. You're talking about an MLB All-Star in return for nothing. Does his ankles work? Does Mayer's
San Diego can figure that out?
Do his wrists work?
San Diego can figure that out.
They got a good medical staff out there.
I mean, my goodness, it's a good thing that this is not the 1860s where you're just trading off the wrong thing.
This is a side note, but when it comes to San Diego, like, that's a team that I think over the last few years you look at, they probably think they should have made a World Series at least once. I think that too. Dylan Cease is a free agent. That is a guy the Red Sox actually should go after, and I think go after hard. Like, that would be a wonderful number two starter behind Crochet. But San Diego's an interesting team. You know, not that the scenario itself is going to play out, but I could see they're always aggressive, and they've got to be frustrated too, based off how good they've been the last few years, but to not have that World Series appearance at least to go with it.
My hope with that.
And why is John Lyons bogarting your text messaging while you're still on the air? Are we calling Laird about distractions on the air? Well, what are we doing here, fellas?
Been an entertaining couple. I couldn't resist talking to John. He sent me something that involved Don Ercillo in a trade proposal, and I had to hear him break it down. But I'm coming to the end here on WEI. KJ, outside of chastising us for wanting Fernando Tatis in exchange for nothing, what do we got coming up on KJ and Lions?
Nothing.
That's the fine. I'll go home. Oregon plays at 3:30. That's going to be a good game. I'll take off.
Actually, the conversation, could Drake May actually show up in the top 10 for MVP voting this year? And then what about Stephon Diggs, potentially top three in comeback player of the year? Seth Wickersham joins us on the show as well. We play Jag. How high, you know, a straight-laced John is. We're going to play How High here in about an hour.
Ooh, well, I look forward to joining. I'll take part on my own time on How High. But in the meantime, that'll do it for me here on WEEI. Thanks so much to those who called and joined the conversation. KJ and Lions coming your way next year on WEEI. They got you 2-6, right?
Yes, sir.
2-6 leading into Boston College.
He didn't tell you that through the glass?
No, didn't text me that either. David Azer, thank you for joining back behind the glass as well. Talk to you soon. See you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.